Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. Let's pivot now from being anxious about our money and maybe our politics and look at what's happening where we work. Earlier this week, I visited with a workplace and labor market expert. Tom Gimbel advises that fantasy football is not just an inevitable part of work, but that bosses had better buy in and draft their own teams. Then later, Tom and I get philosophical about the future of work, period, and just how technology doesn't just disrupt, but also how it leads to actual revolutions. Here's our workplace check-in.
Tom Gimbel, founder, CEO, LaSalle Network.
Tom, let's talk about football for a second. Yep. Let's pivot back that way because I have a friend that I'm on the air with during the week, and he is in a fantasy football league. I'm wondering, is he the only person who wants to talk about their fantasy league at work?
No, it's all over the place. And you read the statistics of how many billions of dollars that fantasy and gambling and pseudo-gambling, whatever you want to call it, creates in the economy. Mm-hmm. And the big thing is you've got to be wary. Let me preface everything. You have to be wary of the guy or girl in your office that's the commissioner of four leagues, right? That person is not getting their job done.
Right on.
Now, aside from that freak,
right,
then you've got to focus and say, this is a collegial type of thing. This is like March Madness. Even though it goes for 16 weeks,
right,
and encourage it. And my advice that I tell all the C-suite clients that we work with is the C-suite needs to play fantasy football with their employees. They need to be in the league. They need to be talking trash. They need to let everybody know that they're a human being. They're one of the masses. Like myself, my own company, from personal experience, I do it with my 16-year-old son in my company league.
Okay.
Right? So I'm not a big fantasy guy. He's the general manager. He does it. I do the draft.
Right on.
And now he's 16. I let him participate in the trash talking just a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Right. Well, that's good parenting.
Right. It's something.
So the C-level people that you're talking about humanizes, raises morale, gives them a little bit of control over things too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you don't want people doing the alt tab on the computer screen every time you walk by, minimizing their fantasy football numbers. You don't want them going downstairs on their cell phone texting. Keep it out in the open.
Right.
Transparency rules. Let people know it's okay. And if you're managing somebody who's a fantasy football maniac, put more deadlines on their work product to get it done so they know they still have a job to do. But it's better to have it out in the open than hidden in the shadows.
All right, we're speaking with Tom Gimbel, a national expert on the topics of labor market trends, labor market procrastination, if you will, or distraction as well. We'll get back to that in a second. Company culture and hiring. We have Tom here to talk about fantasy football a little bit. What other things are you seeing in the workplace that might be a distraction that could be controlled?
Well, I think that's the big issue, and it's the same. If you have one employee and you find out, man or woman, that they're going to have a baby, if you find out that they're getting married, right? Anything that's a life-changing situation is distracting in the workforce. And the question is managers, how are we being trained to handle those situations? And those are good problems, right?
Right, yes.
Right? So what we do and what we coach our clients to do is anytime we know of something, it could be a family member diagnosed with cancer, it could be a dog that somebody's got to put down. Whenever there's an issue, you talk about the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, listen, you're planning a wedding. You're going to have to go meet with the florist between the hours of 8 and 5. It can't be done at 8 o'clock at night. That's okay.
Right.
You just got to figure out the timing to be able to still get your work done. You don't have to run out of the office hiding and secretive and do all these things. And I think that's where productivity gets lost, is you get outside influences that are so focused on things that aren't issues, i.e. fantasy football,
right,
and less focused on keeping morale high to execute for your customers and your clients.
So for managers, this goes a bit beyond, hey, I have an open door policy, drop in anytime. A little more proactivity
it's
is what you're calling for.
Hugely proactive. And it's really where we're, I think, on the forefront of human resources departments going from being reactive, my coworker smells type of, 1950-ish HR issues, to HR partnering with line managers and saying, this is where your issues are with your staff. You've had two people turn over. How are you managing them? We have people wanting to quit. They're proactive about what's going on in people's lives.
Right. And then the worker feels a little buy-in, a little values added to their personal life that they don't feel pigeonholed.
If an employee knows that their manager, director, vice president initiates dialogue about something before the employee has to say that it's an issue,
mm-hmm,
you've won the game, right? When the director, the VP, sends a text and says, heard you're going through some tough times at home. If you need anything, let me know. You've won the game. The employees bought in.
I see. That was my next question. So good news, I'm getting married soon. Yay. Bad news, I'm getting separated soon, or I'm going through something at home.
You got to tell them.
Onus is a little bit on the worker here, but also be receptive if you're a manager.
Well, 100%. And think about this. The big buzzword in corporate America for the past 5, 7, 8, 10 years has been transparency, right? If the companies tell the employees, this is how much money we're making, this is the sales issue, that's transparency. Transparency is a two-way street, Jason.
Okay.
And that means the employees need to be transparent about their lives.
That's very fair.
Right? If an employee comes in and they look like Debbie Downer, the manager thinks they hate their job. The truth may be they broke up with their girlfriend or boyfriend.
Sure.
Their apartment went up 50% in rent.
Right.
Who knows? Right? They got in a car accident, can't afford to pay the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Real issues. But if the employee isn't feel comfortable to tell their manager about it, now you've got multiple issues resulting out of just one.
All right. What else are you seeing out there right now? Let's prairie dog a little bit.
So there's two issues that I think people have to be looking at. Number one is the minimum wage that's being increased across the country, right? Obviously, municipalities like San Francisco are at the forefront of raising minimum wage, but Chicago, New York. And what's the issue there? It's a great thing. People are going to make more money for doing jobs that are really basic or entry-level jobs, and they're going to be making more money. However, what needs to be communicated from employer to employee is the expectations now go up.
Yes.
Anytime you, this is very similar going back to our sports conversation,
uh-huh.
is when a team signs an athlete to a new contract, right? The player thinks they're getting paid for what they did last season.
Right.
The team thinks they're paying them for what they're going to do next season. Right?
That's right.
You give an employee more money. The employee thinks they're getting paid money just because the company can afford it. The company is saying, we expect more from you.
Yes.
If I was paying you $975 and now I have to pay you $1,250,
uh-huh.
I've given you a 33% increase. What more? How much more output am I going to get from you?
Right.
So there's got to be communication with the increases in minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing that's really going to be effect that goes in December 1st is the overtime exemption law. It used to be $24,000 and change, and now it's going to be $47,000 and change. So you've got a whole group of people that are going to be limited on how many hours they can work. And that's going to be a huge, huge issue for companies.
And how can managers prep for that? Are you doing some special training? Is it part of your deck that you're showing to people?
Yeah, we're doing a lot more of that with the C-suite of trying to educate them, because it's not just a budgetary issue of more expenditure on salaries. It's a cultural issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cultural issue, because now you're saying to people, you were making $35,000 a year and you were working your tail off, right, to get promoted. Mm-hmm. And you're working 60 hours a week to be better than Sally and Tom next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't.
Right.
You're done. You're capped at 40 hours a week. So do what you can. You're limiting the people that want to be overachievers.
We're speaking with Tom Gimbel, a workplace and labor market expert. Now, towards the end of our conversation, Tom and I kind of twisted into looking at the future. At the top of this show, we played this clip.
Everybody needs money. That's why they call it money.
And that seems rather germane as we move to the end of this segment with Tom Gimbel.
And that's where we're going to have the influx of problems. Over the next 4 or 5 years, you'll have the minimum wage that will be increased by 50%, right? From a little under $10 to $15 in most major cities,
mm-hmm.
If not federal. Then you're going to have an influx of driverless cars, more technology, fast food restaurant kiosks. So you're going to, who knows what's going to happen with Macy's and retail that isn't doing well, right? Amazon's mm-hmm. challenging that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have more people with less skills who are unemployed, and companies to employ them have to pay them 50% more than they did 5 years ago in order to do that, which means they won't. So you're going to have a rise in unemployment, right? The cost of living will be increasing. Interest rates will be higher. People can't borrow. I think 5 years from now, we're in a very different economy than we are today.
That just proves to me that there is a coming worry.
And I'm not a licensed history professional, right? And I'm not an economist.
You are a workplace professional.
Yeah, I'm a workplace professional, Jason. We're going to see that the country's been around for, what, 250 years. Any great country that's ever been around, any great empire,
mm-hmm.
so to speak,
mm-hmm.
they don't last for forever, right?
Right?
And so the middle class was built through unions when there wasn't radio stations and TV stations and all these things to analyze it. Now we've got social media, we've got 24-hour news.
Right.
And so we're writing the conflux of where does the money go? How does it get created? And really, we were talking about this last night at dinner, is the technology. Right? So anytime there's been a huge technology shift, war has resulted.
Yeah.
So when the automobiles and the airplane came in, what happened, right? We had world wars. And then what happened when we had computers came along and they became more mainstream in the 80s, right? We had wars in the 90s and the early 2000s. Now we have Twitter and the internet revolution in the 2000s, and we have the Middle East being destabilized.
Yes.
Right.
Artificial intelligence just around the corner.
And that's when it's really going to happen again. Like you, I'm saying what I think is out there. I'm not saying the world's going to come to an end, but it's challenges. And the biggest problem is if you have these issues, I think we're going to have a bigger separation of classes.
Yes.
Not a closing of the gap.
I agree. It would take something very, very radical to help those things close at this point.
Right. So if you have a bigger separation of the classes and you have a demographic changing from the majority of the population being Caucasian to being Latino and African-American and Asian and yada, 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 and you have a separation of the gap, we're looking at a societal change.
Tom, thanks so much for coming in. Always great stuff, and I hope you can come back.
Thanks for having me on, Jason.
That was Tom Gimbel, a C-level consultant on workplace atmospheres and labor issues. For links to Tom's credentials and contacts, visit Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. Coming up after this short break, we're closing the week with one of those disruptive, potentially job-stealing technologies we just discussed, drones. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please come on back.